The K Jazz Show, Sundays on Kofifi FM 97.2.
Multi-instrumentalist, multi-award nominee, and acclaimed producer Mpumi Dlamini has performed and collaborated with musicians such as, you know, Proverb, Lira, whilst producing works for Wandabaloe, Kabomu, Zama Jobe, and Sphelelo Masibuko. Continuing to push the boundaries of genre bending and sonic expression in the jazz world, and weeks after an electrifying performance at the Joy of Jazz Festival in September, Mpumi joins us this Sunday, and we talk about his brand new project, Nebula Nomad, an interesting wordplay on clouds and all things universal, when one talks about the interstellar space travel and similar stories. Kofifi FM, please help me welcome Mpumi Dlamini.
Hello everyone, how are you doing? Hope you're well.
We're very well, thank you for joining us. You know, I wanna begin, Mpumi, with the title, Nebula Nomad. Where does the name come from?
So my situation is very funny when it comes to this whole music thing. I've always felt like an outcast. I wasn't really an outcast per se, but I've just felt like one just because of how I've always gone left when everybody else went right, you know? So that's the nomadic part of it, right? So it's obviously a choice. It's not like I was hellbound. I could have just conformed, but I chose not to, you know. And the nebula part is, it's a galactic, obviously it's about like, it's a galactic traveler. What. But the whole idea is behind this whole thing is I could have traveled like a normal nomad in the desert. Or so I'm saying with this now, I'm just doing the wordplay on just the star side of life, right? Sure. Now, what happens with nomads is they never stay at one place. They move around. Similarly to me and my sound, I don't stay on one sound. I move around. And this is also a prelude, just telling people, I'm still going to move around. So whoever is listening to this album must not hold me to it because I'm probably going to move. I might be dropping a Neo Soul album end of the year. Which is going to be completely left field from what I already do. And there's another thing I realized also with this project is there's something I've always done with my songs where I've always had these vocal songs, like you have Forever Always, you have Imvuselelo, but I always will put like one song or two songs like that on the project, and then I go back and I conform again, right? So the whole idea once again here was, I was like, okay, all this time I thought I was going left, but I was curving. So I've decided to actually go left. So I've taken three songs from every album and three new songs that don't exist. And that's why it's a reimagined album. But now it's an album where I'm a fan in the sense that I put everything I like into one project. This one wasn't necessarily like the normal way where we say for their fans. What, this wasn't for their fans at all. Not, I can't say at all, but it wasn't for their fans. I was thinking about myself more than anything, Guti. How do I really want to hear this music, you know? Because as musicians, we have this issue where when we do recordings, we're like, I don't want to complicate the music. And then there's this famous saying that people say, Guti, don't do music for musicians. I don't know what that even means, but you do music for people. And the funny thing is, when it comes to performance time, you're not going to rearrange your music. Why was change? You were happy with it on the album.
That's
so,
right.
So now I'm saying, let me put the music in a format where even if I wanted to perform it as is, I could without rearranging.
Thank you.
And I want to tap into, you know, this process, you know, that you've just alluded to, the creative process for this project. And sure. How different, you know, was it from the previous albums?
My process is always the same, to be honest. It's always the same because it's always like, okay, I feel like doing an album. Okay, I'm going to go do an album. Okay, I'm starting now. Okay, boom, next thing I'm finished. So it's never a... Because I've literally got over 50 unreleased albums.
Wow.
Right? I've got 10,000 unreleased songs.
Sure,
and that's not even an exaggeration. It's a lot. It's a lot. Look, some of them are just melodies. Some of them... But for me, a melody is a complete song because I can just complete it. So some of them are melodies. Some of them are complete. Some of them I don't like anymore. Sometimes some of them I feel like are old, etc. So I've got so much unreleased music. But I felt like I wanted to close this chapter. So by closing this chapter, I wanted to revisit my songs, format them in a way where I would be happy with it and not, you know, as creatives, we like to do this thing. When you're playing a song for somebody, you're like, so what was happening here was, and then you want to explain, you didn't have time and you didn't, because when I did Note to Self, for example, the closing date for the Summers was on the Friday. I started that album on the Tuesday. Nakona as a bit, because I was speaking to one of the ladies there, they were like, why aren't you dropping this year? I'm like, I don't feel like it. They're like, they said something that provoked me. And I was like, fine. And I submitted on the Friday, you know? So, but with this one, I took slightly longer than usual. Usually an album takes me days. This took me like a couple of weeks. But if I'm counting hours, it was still days. But I'd leave it for some time, 2-3 weeks, come back, leave it for 2-3 weeks, come back. And then there was just a time where I was just like, okay, I'm finishing off this thing now. So I could say there was a lot more care and a lot more attention to detail this time around versus any other album I've ever done. Most albums I've done were always vibes, like, okay, I'm going to put this, bam, 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 done. So now I went back, re-edited, it's too short, too long.
And still on that, the creation of the album, you know, your work spans and possibly defines genres, you know, as you alluded, you never know, you know, how that day is going to come around. But what makes you, or how do you decide which direction you're going, you know, what informs that?
I never question the very first idea I get. So if I feel like making, as you've heard on the album, the songs just change random. It just goes. But the whole idea is I don't want anybody by the time. But okay, let's say the song is 8 minutes long. By the time it gets to 3.5 minutes, I don't want you to even remember where we started. And by the time you get to 7 minutes, you will not remember where we started at all. Hence the whole journey part of the title, right? Where my songs are basically, we're traveling, we are moving from one place to another. Test yourself, listen to my album when you're in a bad mood and in a good mood, and when you're tired, and you'll feel differently every single time. So my music is not supposed to create a particular mood. It's just going to, not, I wouldn't say amplify, but it will alter your mood at any point. That's kind of the idea. It wasn't planned though. It's just the way I work lends itself to making the things go that way.
Absolutely.
So it's not really planned. I wouldn't say it's planned. Like, I never know where my song is going to end. Like, I know musicians, we like to say, I dreamt about this idea. Nah, bro. For me, I'm just like, okay, I feel like doing a song like this now. Okay, I just watched a martial arts movie. Okay, cool. I'm going to create forever, always. But wouldn't it be interesting if I sang it in Venda? Okay, how does that work?
Right.
And then that's how I do it. And then I'm like, okay, cool. But now I don't want to put too much Venda. What other language can I put in? Wolof. Boom. I phone El Hajj, please translate these lyrics for me.
Yeah.
I figure out how to make them work with the Wolof and the Venda together. So it's very much, it is vibes. But I feel like because I follow my gut so much, that's the rule. You know, I don't know if I'm making sense though, but it's a rule within, there's no rules, but there is a rule. And the rule is that there's no rules. So when my heart says I must now learn Japanese.
Yes.
I don't know anyone Japanese, so I'm just going to be like, okay, let me go on Facebook and find a Japanese friend. Boom. From there, do you know any musicians? No. But do you write any? Okay, write. Translate it. Send me a voice note. I make that a song.
That's it. And it's that simple.
It's literally that. It's that simple, yes. And then I just start layering, obviously. You'll hear my Zayoni. You'll hear what. Then that's always my backbeat, yeah. Which there'll always be that element that I throw in. Because I feel like that's an unexplored side, you know, within our music.
Absolutely.
You know, I could have gone the Maskandi approach, but I feel like, so I always veer towards the Zion part, but I don't know what's going to happen next. I think in the next album, I've kind of decided where I'm going to go next. I'm not going to tell you though. I'll send you samples.
We'll wait and see. I think that's the easiest way. Yeah. Of course, Kofi FM, we're talking to Mpumi Dlamini this week, and he is a multi-instrumentalist, producer, educator, collaborator, and makes wearing all these hats so seamless and easy. And he joins us to talk about his brand new project, and we also get to listen to some of these tunes whilst we take a walk through his musical timeline. The project, Mpumi, features a wonderful lineup of musicians who, you know, you've worked with to realize the album. Let's talk about who they are and their contributions to this body of work.
Okay, so it's a fresh album. So let me go to my list quickly. Okay, I'm on my list. So I've got a song called A Dream. That was just me. Everything. Okay, so this always confuses people. Uguchi, why don't I ever do like credits and what? And you know, because it's quite pointless. I play everything. I'm gonna write my name. I'm gonna say piano, boom. Drums, boom, mixing, boom, artwork, because literally it's everything is me, you know, and not because I don't want to work with other people, but because by the time I'm recording it as an idea, I'm recording it properly. So now, and then I'm so married to the idea. If I book anybody, if I was going di-di-di-di, I'm going to ask him to go di-di-di-di. And the question is, what was the point of that? It's like you doing a radio show and getting somebody else to add to what do you call this thing? To, you know, lip sync you with your, what was the point? Because you could have just done it yourself. So that's why I do it. It's not that I don't want to work with other people. But this time, I had a little bit more room to try and work with people. So there's a song called, okay, there's A Dream Where I Was Alone. All those voices, and then there's a song called A Night on the Moon. A Night on the Moon, I feature Uofenzi, Sibula, trumpeter, I mean a saxophone player, you know, because I wanted his tone. It's different to mine. I usually work with Tsepo Tsotetsi. He's the only other person that ever is on my stuff, but I got him because I wanted the tenor sound. You know, I do play tenor, but there's a way that he plays it, and I wanted his sound. So that made a lot of sense for me on that. And then on Night on the Moon, I had Freeman Kumete playing bass there, and everything else is me, right? Mm. And then I had a place, a time, a people. I'm not going to go in order. I had Tsepo Mngoma playing the violin. And then I had Lihle and Dimande on bass. And then I had Mark Franzman on saxophone. Mind you, I think we did that song. I recorded Mark in 2012. I recorded Mark, and then I remade the whole song. And then even he was surprised with how this song still exists, you know. And then I played everything else. Culmination, I featured Uayo Solanke, Nosbusi Somkhize, trumpet and saxophone. And then Forever Always, I featured Bra Prince Lingwasa, you know. Nakona, it's all very intentional, because I asked him to play flugelhorn. So it wasn't like a session thing. This is why some of these people that I work with could be regarded as sessions, right? But because I gave them room, more room than I would normally, I was like, you know what, let me just call it a feature. Imvuselelo, the reimagined one, I have Freeman Kumete on bass, and I listed him as a feature, right? But he was playing bass, so people will be wondering what he does. No, he's my bass player, but because he is so vocal in the song, it made sense to make it a feature. There's a song called Spusinkosi, I had Zoe the Seed, and Spelelo Mazibuko on drums, of course.
Yeah.
And then everything else was me. Spirits and Dance, everything is me. Bass, everything. And then the Dwarf Planet, Tribesmen, I had Judah Ngwenya playing piano, and then Ofense again playing saxophone. Higher Being, I had Mzizi and Shocks, you know, but because they had very important voices, I had to call it a feature for me, you know.
Yes, very fascinating.
Water Bearer, I had Tsepo Mngoma, and then the last song, To Be One With Self, I had Gege. Now, Gege's one was an interesting one because we did the song some time ago, like maybe 2019, but the song sounded nothing like this. So when we were supposed to start the song, I think he got a call, he had to go somewhere. So when we were still working on the rough, super rough idea, he started playing around with it. He was just literally sound checking. He never got to record. So what I did was I chopped up that entire sound check and I sampled it and I made it a song.
Wow.
So he didn't even know what the song was going to sound like. He didn't even know what the song sounds like. I sent it to him a few weeks ago and I said, yo, bro,
do you remember this?
Obviously, he didn't. He was like, it's so long ago. He hadn't heard it. He's like, I'm thinking... I've grown so much as a musician. I'm like, bro, this thing, there's no way you're going to redo this thing.
Yeah. You
know? Like, there's even a part where he goes, whoa. But the way I did it, it sounds like it's part of the song, you know? So, it's just vibes, man. It's just vibes. And I'm very proud of this album. I'm proud of all of them, but I think
this one
explains my vision the best.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, I want to talk about, you know, the two tracks that I mentioned earlier, the Water Bearer that you've just spoken of, you know, sure. and the Reimagine Imvuselelo, which are current tracks that are on high rotation, you know, in my player. Let's talk about them, you know, and their process, you know.
Okay, so let's start with Water Bearer. Water Bearer on the Note to Self album was called Lullaby for Chloe.
Mm.
So Chloe is my daughter, right? So I wrote that song initially when she was born. That was in 2015, right? Before she was born, actually. Before she was born. So it was supposed to be a lullaby.
Right.
So with this reimagined project, to try and figure out, I can't call it, it sounds nothing like a lullaby at this point. It would be very weird, right? So I then said, Water Bearer. What star sign is a water bearer? Aquarius. And she is born on the 10th of Feb. Now, the metaphor there is what? It's nomads. What's the one thing a nomad is always looking for? Water in the desert.
Yeah.
Sharp. And the one thing stopping us from traveling to other planets is what?
Water.
So it was a nice wordplay. So I then called it the Water Bearer because it made perfect sense. It came together very nicely metaphorically, even with the album title. So every single song there correlates to the nebula thing. Hence, you have the dwarf planet thing.
Yeah.
Then you have a night on the moon. Every single thing.
Interstellar.
Yeah. Full on.
And
I'm into quantum physics also, by the way. I'm into quantum physics. So that's kind of my idol thing, you know?
Yeah.
So with that one, because she's grown up now, she's what? She's 9 years old, you know? Since it's 2024, because people will be listening to this thing in years to come. So in 2024, she's 9 years old. And for me, you know, the metaphor once again is still, she's like my water, you know what I'm saying? Also, so there's like, it's like multiple meanings to that one song, you know. And then we go, it has a very South African thing, which I never ever do, ever do. But for me, it sounded very celebratory in the sense that we had found our oasis and we are celebrating and hence the chant at the end.
Yeah.
And then Imvuselelo is an interesting one. So I watch a lot of Marvel stuff and you know that's the Easter egg world, you know.
Yeah.
So here's an Easter egg that nobody has ever found. My very first album, I'm standing in the middle of the city with a saxophone and there's lights going past me, right? What's the city? Concrete jungle. Stay on jungle. The next album, I've got Note to Self. I put an Easter egg. If you zoom into my eye, most people only see the piano in my eye.
Right.
There's a forest behind that.
Wow.
It's linking to the jungle again. And then on that's Note to Self, right? And it was not Photoshop. So none of my albums are actually Photoshop. If you even accept this current one now. The first one, the lights that you're seeing, there were actual cars passing. So we had to literally wait for cars to pass for me to get that long exposure. And then the second album, we had to get a particular type of lens that would reflect from my eyes so that we could see the pine trees behind us, the pine tree forest behind us. And the third album is Imvuselelo. Now, for the first time, you get to see me and I'm sitting on a couch. That was, funny enough, that was in my backyard, by the way. So I literally just took my couch out and I put it there. But remember now, we started from the concrete jungle, then moved to the jungle in my eye. And then Gaba Nemvuselelo. And Nemvuselelo, you're now seeing the trees. And the trees were very green, if you remember, on the cover. Very, very green. So hence going Nekama Nemvuselelo.
Wow.
And now...
The revival.
Here's the poetry. Now here's the poetry. On this new album cover, you see my face, right? For the first time, very close. And there's a hand, right? That hand, as black people, what do we do when we give umdumdala something? We use both our hands.
Right.
Hence, if you see the cover, I'm presenting both my hands, presenting my face.
There you go.
Now, yes. So all four albums are kind of linked.
Yeah, so poetic. Of course, Kofi Fia, we're spending time with Bumi here.
Just to close it off, that thought. Yes. So you're asking about the Imvuselelo reimagined.
Yes.
If you listen to the lyrics now, I added lyrics now. It's a prayer. It's an Anglican prayer.
Mm.
I grew up in an Anglican church, but then went to Roman Catholic schools my whole life. Mm. But I was on, while I was recording that song, I was looking out for something on Google. That prayer just came up. Mm. I didn't hesitate. I took it as is. I just removed a few words and I made it the song.
Wow. Wow.
You know, there's a lot of, I don't want to call it chance, but let's call it chance. There's a lot of things that need to be in alignment for me to be able to work and do my projects.
And it's evident because we can hear it, you know, that work, that layering that you referred to earlier on.
The layering, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Kofifi, we're hanging out with Mpumi here. He's our guest for the Our Africa feature. And of course, we've also been listening to some of the music of the latest project, Nebula Nomad. Now, Mpumi, you performed at the Joy of Jazz stage a few weeks ago and on the same stage that also hosted Liz Wright and many other wonderful musicians. How was that experience for you? I mean, for us, we were looking at the big band, the Mpumi Dlamini big band. How was that for you?
It was a lot of people. Look, it was special for many reasons, right? A friend of mine and I was speaking about Joy of Jazz. Why does it take us musicians? Because you can look at it from both ways. You can say they don't book musicians and But for me, I then realized something. Because these guys aren't only choosing from the country, we are literally just fighting to get that one spot, which makes it that much more special. You know, which is why I was like, I'm going to treat this like the World Cup and not like I'm just playing G, you know. And this is why you saw that there were over 50 people on stage, you know, and everybody's asking me how I pulled it off. Mind you, we before that, remember, we had just done the workshops with Joy of Jazz, and the following week we did Sphelelo Mazibuko's album, and then I did a tour in Durban and whatever, but we still found a way to do it. So we rehearsed the stuff, we compartmentalized it. So from the Joy of Jazz workshops, we did the National School of the Arts one, and then I did a few more afterwards. There's one I also did at CJC. Now, the boys you saw playing horns, they are boys that I met at my workshop. Then I got, I called my brother and my sister, I had Nokanya, and then I had Tepo Mgoma, which is a special one now because he was now tributing that to Mam Sibongile. But that's it was it. My arrangement, but I was like, it was very special for him. But also, the one person you think of when you think of Mam Sibongile would be Nokanya, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it made sense. I just made a call. Guys, are you around? Boom. We checked that song during soundcheck. I arranged it during soundcheck, by the way.
Sure.
So it was unrehearsed. We made a sound check. I said, this is the arrangement. The rest, we're jazz musicians, we'll figure it out.
Boom, we'll flow. Let's flow.
We'll just go, you know. Then the next song, I featured Soweto Central Chorus.
That was huge. That was.
Now, I also wanted them to have their moment. So we literally just got off stage and we just let them play. We did Victor Antonio's song, Lichoni Langa, you know. And then I was playing my electric saxophone that I got from Roland. And just in case anybody's wondering, because I was playing a funny little contraption that sounded like a cello. But yeah, you know, I had that. And then from there, we moved into my set, you know. And then I played, we did Forever, we did a new song, I think it's called Memories. And then we did Lullaby for Chloe, which is now Water Bearer, right? And then the very last song we played was that special one where I asked Pelelo to come to the front, and we had prepared visuals for all the songs. But here was the tricky part, right? Pelelo is the one that did the visuals, because he's in our company. He does the video stuff. So he does the editing and whatever. I do everything audio. He also did all my video slides for all the artists. Now, I had to find a way to hide the fact that the last song was for my dad and his mom. So when he was like, okay, so where's the last song? I'm like, no, that song is for nobody, bro. Don't worry. We're just going to play it as is. We're just going to put up my picture. Right. And now I had to call his wife to get pictures of his mom. Hey, bro, it was the whole thing. It was the whole thing, you know? Which is why, you know, both of us were crying during the... In fact, even the choir didn't know. The only people that knew was my drummer and my bass player, because we had performed it in Durban the week before at the Chairman. And mind you, I wrote that the lyrics that I sang at that for that song, I wrote at a workshop I did at UKZN with one of the students there, Usindi, you know?
Yeah.
So, like I say, these things came together, man. That song, we wrote that the week before and we performed it the following week. Mind you, Nebula Nomad was then dropped the same day as Joy of Jazz in the evening. I got home and I finished it. So there was all these things happening. So I asked Pelelo, I was like, look at the screen there. Who are these people? He's like, it's my dad. It's like your dad. And then who's that? What? It's my late mom. Man, I'm just calling you to just thank you for just being in my life and just being an amazing human being. And this final tribute is to our parents, you know.
Oh, your wonderful ancestors.
Bro, that was the hardest performance I've ever. That song was and my mom was in the audience, and my sister. Yeah. Obviously, my sister cries all the time, you know. So my sister was crying, my mom was crying, and then I started crying because they were crying, and then Pelelo was crying.
Everybody was crying. You know? I'm and getting then goosebumps, the choir, by the way.
Bro, it was ridiculous, man. It was ridiculous, you know. So
my gosh,
I think it was a very special performance for me, and I kept saying to the choir that, guys, it's jazz. And what I meant by that is, even if they make mistakes, keep going. And also, because it's jazz, don't be hung up on arrangement, because I'm probably going to change it on stage.
Yes.
And I changed so many things, you know. And everybody was crying at the end of the set, you know. And for me, I just want to thank the Joy of Jazz guys. I know it's not a normal thing for us to be thanking promoters, but for me, it was a big moment for me. It was a very, very, very big moment for me in many ways, and my family and just my team.
Okay, sure. Let's talk about, you know, for those that missed the performance that we've just now been talking about, any upcoming shows that we can see you at? Will we be getting physical copies of the project? Plug us in.
The physical copy thing is tricky. I'm going to try to do it. I'm going to try to do it. I might even do like a limited vinyl vibe, but it's just that it's printing is very, very difficult. Because obviously just the printers themselves have a minimum now, because we no longer really print. So that's that. And then there's a big show that I'm planning. I can't really announce it yet because it's that big. It's going to be a shocker, like the people I'll be performing with. If all goes well, it should still be happening this year, probably in December or whatever. Somewhere there. And then a few activations. And just a sidebar. I'd like to thank... how was my outfit, by the way?
Incredible. We were backstage together and I was busy working on my set for the hosting. And I'm like, oh, that's dope. And you walk past, I'm like, I have to work. I have to finish this.
So I'd like to thank Naked Ape. That's Naked Ape. Sheldon Koopman. Because that outfit was part of the whole, you know, everywhere. Because remember, I also went and did Mashilwane's set. When I went to, that was the thing, you know. It was like, oh, what? I probably got stopped over 20 times. I'm not even exaggerating. Wow. You know? So definitely, that was a big part of, a big component to us. So Naked Ape, shout out. I think for the announcement thing that you were speaking about now, people must just check out my, just follow my socials. Now I'm going to be that guy. Follow me on on Instagram. I need to learn. Follow me on Instagram. It's MPUMIDHLAMZ. So it's Mpumi Lems. I'm a lot more active now. So yeah. I'll do all my announcements will be happening there. But yeah, there's a lot of exciting projects coming up. Even the possible album drop again in December. You know, so yeah,
you'll find everything on my social. We will surely look out for that. And of course, thank you so much for taking this time to spend with us here on the show. And we look forward to that, you know, at the show that is The Secret at the moment. But
yes,
we'll stay tuned, as we always say. He is multi-instrumentalist, producer, film scorer, nutritionist, personal trainer, music educator. Oh my gosh. Mpumi Dlamini. And he was on The KJazz Show.